Does that sound like Pentecost Sunday title? In a roundabout way. So, I thank you, Lord, for using me this morning. So I stood on Lookout Mountain, actually this week, Monday, and I surveyed the beauty around me. I could see a long ways. But my eyes were drawn to a steep stairs that led to a zip line up over there above me. Oh, how I wanted to do the zip line. I could feel the tug. I even anticipated what I might experience. I contemplated saying yes a long time. And then I said no. And I turned and I went back down the mountain to our car. Adventure was calling to me. It actually beckoned loudly to me, waiting for me to respond. Those that know me, you might call me a scaredy cat, a chicken of sorts in that area. But adventure is not always physical. There's actually an arena in which I have no fear. And that is what this morning is all about, because I'm telling you, adventure awaits you. Pentecost Sunday is a great day to talk about adventure. And I want you to hold on tight, because God is going to challenge you today. He is. He's going to challenge each one of you. You want to know how I know that? Because I stood here and I prayed that. I prayed that not one person could leave here without being challenged this morning. And he hears me and he answers. So you're in for it. I want to define adventure for you in case you don't really know what it is. It's an unusual and exciting and typically dangerous experience or activity. Sometimes there's even risk involved. And that word adventure, it can bring an increased heartbeat at the thought of discovery, of doing something that only a handful of people have done. And I truly believe that at the very depth of you and me, there is this longing inside of us for adventure. Each one of you have it planted inside of you. It's a yearning to experience that which maybe others have only hoped or dreamed about. See, adventure is something beyond the humdrum of everyday life. And I just want you to consider a moment. Consider the courage it took for men to travel across the ocean to step onto a land that had yet to be discovered. Or about how about heading to the moon, you know, that place we see with our eyes but never consider putting our feet on, until Neil Armstrong did in 1969. He put his feet on the surface which lights our way at night. And you know, there's like mountains to climb. And did you know that people die just wanting to try one more summit, one more height, one more climb? People jump out of airplanes. They go to the depth of the ocean. They cycle across the United States. Many would call these the ultimate adventure. Or maybe you're not so adventuresome. But your adventures are still exciting when you uncover that which is calling to you. You see, I'm asking you this morning, are you eager for adventure? Maybe you say, I'm too old for adventures. Seen it, done there, been there. Don't need to. You're wrong. You're not too young for adventure. You're not too chicken for adventure. Adventure is about the thrill and the discovery. And many would tell you that every effort, every expense, and every step was worth it all as they eagerly wait for the next adventure to present itself. So I believe this morning that there's actually a call to adventure to you, an invitation for you to sign on to the greatest adventure ever. And I want you to long for that adventure. Long for it. Don't worry, I'm not signing you up for a safari or a balloon ride or a trip across the earth. This is a different style of adventure that's beckoning to you. And it's beckoning to each one of you. I want you to discover the mysteries of God. Did you know there's mysteries to uncover? Did you know that they're hidden for you? Those unknown secrets that sadly few even try to discover. And deep within you is placed a hunger for Him. When He created you, He put that hunger inside of you, that longing to know He who created you, that longing to know Him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He placed that within you. Not one of you, you weren't left out. There is a longing inside of you. Those desires that actually make you ready for exploration. And there's an adventure waiting you, and it's more than worth the risk. It's more than worth the cost. It's more valuable than gold. And it's waiting for you. And it holds that which is beyond your wildest imagination. As Mike and I were sitting there, and Becca said, tell them how God has provided for you. Tell the person next to you. I said, God has met our needs above and beyond what we could have even dreamed or asked or believed Him to do in our lives. That's who He is. And that's what He has for you. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, in case I haven't convinced you. It says, but it is written. It's written that your eye has not seen, nor has your ear heard, nor has entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you who love Him. Do you love God? Then He has something inside of you waiting for you to discover, waiting for you to understand. It says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. You see, when we press in and we say, oh, come Holy Spirit, come and move in us. He longs to unveil our eyes, to show us the deep things of God. Adventure awaits is because of the day of Pentecost, which we celebrate today. So I want us to look at unusually one man for a moment and his adventure. I want you to see how adventure presented itself, and how he had to respond. I want you to think about Moses for a moment. He's a pretty familiar character. You've seen the movies, him opening the Red Sea and going through. That's the man I want to talk about, Moses. I want us to consider his life and all the places that he faced adventure. And I want you to see his response to the beckoning. The scripture references, I'm going to put scripture references up there for those note takers among us, but I'm not actually going to read those passages of scripture. I just want you to know where I'm taking my information from. Because I mostly am going to tell you the story from what God spoke to me. And so in Hebrews 11, I want you to see something out of Hebrews 11 that's a piece of his adventure. You see, it began before he was actually born. His parents when he came into the world, his parents saw something in him, or the God spoke to them. It doesn't tell us. All I know is that they saw something in this child that they went against all odds to protect and keep him. They went against the command of the king, and they hid their son away. And you think about how a newborn baby bawls a lot. And they hid him away so that he would not be thrown into the river to his death. For at that time, all the Hebrew boys were under the edict to be killed. And we don't even know how long Moses was hidden. It doesn't tell us. But there came a day where they could no longer hide him. And this mother who held secrets in her heart and who prayed over that child and who saw something in him that no one else saw, she made a basket, she put tar on it, and she did the unthinkable. She put her child inside that basket and put him in the river to go down the river. Did you know that the name Moses actually means draw out of water? That's what that name means. And fascinating enough, God in his knowledge and all ways that he foreordains things, he sends an Egyptian princess who actually looks at the basket, takes it, and takes the child out and decides that this is going to be her son. And God in his mercy even had his actual mother hired to nurse him and take care of him in the early days. It's an unbelievable story, actually. And it's God at work, because that's what God can do in your life when you go before him and you're asking him to move in your behalf. He cares about the details of your life. So the next that we hear about Moses is in Exodus 2, 11 to 15. It's in that passage of scripture. And there isn't a lot that we are told about Moses, but somehow, some way deep in his spirit, he understood that even though he was an Egyptian prince, he didn't belong there. He belonged with the brethren that were serving as slaves out there. He had some understanding and knowledge of that. And we hear how Moses looked at the privilege he had. Think of it. He's in the king's house. He's taught and trained by the king's servants. He has every privilege. He is in that. And his heart turns towards the slaves out there. And he goes out one day and he sees an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew man, beating on him. And he kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. And you see you gain this understanding that even though Moses knew about God and he knew about God's people, he didn't really know God at all. And he did what we would do. He ran. He ran to the wilderness. But there's something interesting. Because if you read Hebrews 11... it reveals that Moses had to choose. Just like when I stood on that mountaintop and I looked at that zipline, I had to choose. I had to say yay or nay. He looked and he had to decide. And it actually is fascinating. It's so fascinating what it says about him that I want you to see it in out of the complete Jewish Bible translation, Hebrews 11, 27. It says, by trusting, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. And then listen to this last phrase. He persevered as one who sees the unseen. What does that mean? What does that look like? He persevered as one who sees the unseen. You see, I believe that there was a deep call inside of him, a stirring, a longing to understand that which he didn't know or see. Can you feel the adventure calling to his spirit man? It's urging him to come up higher, to discover what's drawing him forward, to learn of the unseen. And he kept his eyes on that which was unseen. And church, we have to keep our eyes on that which is unseen. You have to see him above this. Because the moment you take your eyes off of this and you look at this, you're going to falter and fall. You have to keep your eyes on the unseen. And we have to understand something, that he could have been the next king of Egypt. He literally could have been the next king of Egypt. And he said to no to that which was familiar. All he had enjoyed and experienced his whole life, all the privilege he was raised with, he said yes to the call from deep within. He gave it all up. Do you understand how that seems almost impossible? That mother's prayers must have been powerful. That's all I got to say. Powerful prayers over him. It must have been a tough decision, one he weighed carefully. But Moses gave it all up in exchange for something he did not know or understand. And sometimes we feel that same kind of stirring. There's this hunger for a shift, a change, a longing to know and understand that which we don't know and understand. It's deep within you, and it's drawing you and calling to you. Can you relate to that? Do you understand? That's what I believe Moses felt. I think that's what Abraham felt and Noah felt. God tugging on their hearts, drawing them towards him. So, next, we find Moses in the desert. And he's married to a shepherdess. And he's wandering in the wilderness, just taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Big change. Maybe a little disappointments, maybe? I don't know. And I'm sure it wasn't quite the adventure he was hoping for. And I'm sure he wondered and contemplated what in the world had happened. And yet it says he persevered. And one day, in the wilderness, Moses sees an unusual sight. Up on the mountainside, he sees a bush burning but not consumed. And again, in that moment when he sees that, he has to make a decision. He has to decide, am I heading towards it or am I finishing my job I'm on today? And I'm telling you, church, every day there comes those decisions to you. Am I going to turn aside towards that which I'm feeling drawn to, or am I going to just keep up so I can get done with a list of jobs that never ends anyway? We have to decide, and he decided. He made that decision, and he checks it out, and his story is found in Exodus 3:3. Look at that. It says, I love this verse. It says, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, and why the bush does not burn. Do you see the choice before him? Can you understand that every turn God is calling him as he calls to us? Longing for us to turn aside and see what he wants to show us. Do we take the time to turn aside and see what he wants to show us? Are you available from those ordinary things that keep you from the incredible adventure God has for you? So look at verse 4. In verse 4 it says this. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look. See, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to turn aside from what is everyday stuff. He's waiting for you to respond to that yearning he's putting within you, that longing. He's calling you up. He's calling you deeper, and he's waiting for you to turn aside. It says, so when the Lord saw, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And when we hear the stirring of God, and we turn towards it, and we stop, and we actually pay attention, God meets us every time. I've never been disappointed. He will meet you every time. He's always stirring our hearts that we would have to decide, what will I do with this stirring? Will I lay down my agenda and turn towards God who is waiting for us? And there's this crazy, exciting adventure that happens when he turns aside. You see, Moses saw a fire, but there wasn't a human agent to kindle it. He heard a voice, but he didn't see human lips from which it came. He saw no living being, yet one was in the bush. In the heat of the flames, who knew him and addressed him by name. Talk about raising your pulse a few beats. What an adventure to meet God in a burning bush. Exodus 3, 5, and 6 says this. Then God spoke to Moses and he said, do not draw near to this place. Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Moreover, he says, and he sets him up. He says, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. There was an encounter with the living God he'd only heard about before. And Moses was actually experiencing it for himself in a wild, unexpected way. And his revelation and understanding of God increased with every encounter. His yes also set him up for the next adventure. And every time you say yes to God, it sets you up for another adventure. Every time you have a dream or an experience, an unquenchable longing, there comes a greater understanding of God and more revelation about him and his kingdom. So we all know the story of Moses bringing the Israelites out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, but that adventure brought him into a deeper knowledge and understanding of God, and it awakened life and truth and freedom like it will in us every time we respond to him. And so the last place I want you to see is found in Numbers. And he's in the wilderness leading a couple million people around in the wilderness. And Miriam and Aaron, his siblings, you guys, are challenging their brother for a leadership position. And jealousy has risen in the ranks. And I bring this up because I want you to hear what God speaks about Moses in this part of the story. You must understand, Moses began with almost no understanding of God, and then he stepped by step, adventure by adventure, began to shift and change, and then came to this point where God speaks this about him. Numbers 12, 6 through 8. Listen to this. And he, that's God, says, hear now my words. Is there a prophet among you? I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him face to face. Even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Moses actually saw God in a form right before him. Moses spoke with God face to face. He went from not knowing who God was to speaking with him face to face. That's what God is calling you to go from adventure to adventure, that you might see him as he is, that you might encounter him and be face to face with him, that he wouldn't speak to you in dark sayings and in prophetic words, and that he would speak to you as one speaks to a friend. That's God's heart for you. Moses is, yes, he was called and he was a special man, but you're called and you're special, and God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you as he spoke with Moses. This is a picture of the way God wants to move in your life. I can see on your faces, some of you don't even believe me this morning. He wants to encounter you. I think that we do not even begin to understand the beckoning of God's Spirit to our spirit man. We ignore it so often that we don't even hear it anymore. And God is wanting to open the floodgates. God is wanting to use you in powerful ways. Because Moses said yes to the yearnings within, he was used to do signs, wonders, and miracles that are unparalleled. I don't know any that match what he experienced. How many of you have opened a sea and walked through on dry land? I haven't. I'm a long ways from there. No, I'm not. If that's what God wants me to do, I want to go there. Because with him, I have no fear. Because I trust him and I believe in him who is and was and is to come. And I believe what he wants to do in you as a people. I believe what he wants to do in this house. And this is Pentecost Sunday, a day when the church was born, a day when the fire of God fell on the people. And that's what we're looking for today. We're looking for that unprecedented move of God in our midst. So I want to connect Pentecost Sunday to this about Moses this morning. So there's, how many of you know the story of the 500 and 120? In 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us that Jesus ascended to heaven after he had been raised from the dead. We all know that. There were 500 people there. There were 500 people watching him ascend to heaven. Can you imagine what that would have been like? There's Jesus, the man you walked with and talked with, the man that you saw do incredible miracles, and you're standing there, and up, 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 up he goes. What a thing to see. But if you turn over to Acts chapter 1, oh, let me back up a minute. As he's leaving, he says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there for the promise of the Father. I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait there. So then we turn to Acts 1, 15, and it tells us there were 120 gathered in the upper room. At the ascension, there was this invitation for adventure. This call went out, a summons went out, that there's something the Father has for you. It's an experience. It's something more. It's power from on high. And they were waiting. They were there waiting like they were asked to. Anyone experience waiting? And they didn't understand exactly what it was that they were waiting for. Anybody relate to that? But he clearly told them not to depart from Jerusalem. You see, a call to adventure often includes waiting. And in that waiting, there's a getting ready to do what God's wanting to do. So my question is, what happened to 380 people that heard Jesus tell them to wait for the promise? There were 500, now there's 120. What happened to them? Obviously, their hearts had been affected. They were eyewitnesses to Jesus ascending to heaven. All 500 of them had an opportunity to respond to the call to adventure. But something between seeing Jesus go up to heaven and on the day of Pentecost, which, let me remind you, was only 50 days, happened. Something happened. Would you give up with 50 days of waiting? Hearts were affected by Jesus, but they didn't obey. They didn't obey. They apparently went back to their routines, impressed not enough to actually head to stay in Jerusalem. It would seem that other things called their names. Those 380 simply made a choice. They said no to the call to adventure. And they missed the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They missed the promise of the Father. They missed the offered gifts. They missed the needed power to live powerfully. I guess they just weren't adventuresome enough. And we don't have the privilege of knowing their whys. But 120 waited as instructed. They waited, they pressed in, and they longed to know and understand the kingdom of God in a greater way. See, a new adventure was awaiting for them. Consider all they had seen and experienced during their walk with Jesus. Think of what they had seen. They had seen dead raised. They had seen eyes open. They had seen people come to Jesus. They had seen bread multiplied to 5,000. They'd seen so much. And yet God was saying there's more. There's more. That 120 took Jesus at his word, and they waited until they were endued with the supernatural power from the Holy Spirit. And this new adventure began for each one of them. They begin to live in what we call the supernatural. I believe to them it was more natural than supernatural. They experienced power. They saw miracles. They were transported. They were freed from jail cells. They survived earthquakes. They encountered angels. They raised the dead. Talk about adventure. Talk about adventure. The power that fell upon them transformed their lives, and it came with an ability to do what previously they had thought not possible. God used those men and women in unbelievable ways, and not one of their adventures was exactly the same. They were all different. Those that waited for that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that new power that came upon them, began to walk as Jesus had walked, and they began to do the things that Jesus did. And I remind you that we celebrate today the day of Pentecost, the day the church was born. And it was that day that was the fulfillment of God's plan. He finished what his whole purpose and plan was for mankind. See, he knew we couldn't do life without a helper. And so he went so that he could send the Holy Spirit to be our helper, to be what we needed. And the helper came from heaven and filled them. And do you want to know the results? The face of the world changed. The face of the whole world changed because of that moment. You see, read the book of Acts. It tells you what's possible because of Pentecost. And maybe some of you think, well, that was them then. I'm telling you, that's us today. What he promised in the book of Acts is for you and I. It's time for the church to take what God's word says and take it for fact rather than, well, maybe. Well, I think he would like to. We need to believe God. We need to take hold of what was offered. We need to seep ourselves in encounters with the Holy Spirit till out of us flows the supernatural like it did in the book of Acts. And this morning on this anniversary of Pentecost, God is calling to you. He's stirring your heart in the same style. And he's wanting for you what those 120 experienced. And it takes two things from you. Only two. Two things. You have to say yes. And then you have to obey. Simple, right? Simple, right? And God is looking for a people who long to know him more. I hunger for more of God. I weep here saying, God, I want more. I want to know you more. I want to understand you more. I want to experience all that you have for me. Open my eyes, open my ears, cause my heart to be soft enough to receive from you. That should be your prayer daily. Can't be satisfied with where we're at. We can't sit in the same place we've sat forever and ever. We have to say yes, and we have to move forward. We have to go be hungry for what's possible. What might God do with one man who says yes? One woman who says yes? Read the Bible, and you'll see. Jesus told us that we can know the mysteries of God. And so Paul prayed this over the church. And I want you to stand, and I want to pray this over you this morning. You can pray with your eyes open if you want, because I'm going to pray Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 over you on this Pentecost Sunday this morning. Father God, Papa, I pray that this people, these believers, these in this room this morning will understand the incredible greatness of God's power when they believe you. That they would understand that that is the same power that raised Jesus Christ up out of the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. I pray that our hearts, oh God, our hearts would be tender to you, that we would say yes to you, that we would set aside our agenda for your agenda, that we would be hungry to experience the more of God. I thank you for the call of God upon every heart this morning, that they might know him more. I pray that their ears would be open, that they could hear your voice. I pray that their eyes would be open, that they would see the unseen. I pray for encounters, Holy Ghost encounters for every single one of them. Not one would be left out, that they would be shook to their core as you call to them from the fire and you speak to them. Oh God, use us at Lighthouse Church. See us as a people who are hungry, longing that we can change the face of the world. God, that you might raise up out of this group this morning men and women who continuously, one after another, say yes. 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 Yes, God, I will go. Yes, God, I will wait. Yes, God, I will speak. Yes, God, I will do. Oh, Papa, we can't do it without you. So I ask for a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit upon us as a people this morning, that like you, let the wind of heaven blow and let fire fall upon our heads and let us encounter the Holy Spirit in a new dimension today. That's what we long for, oh God. That's what we long for. God, we want more of you. Come and meet us. God, meet us today. There's so many needs among us, oh God. So many things that they're longing for you to move on their behalf. I ask you to meet them today. And I thank you, God. And we wait before you as children of the Most High God. Our hearts as only you can. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Put your hand in your heart this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. Go in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit today. Grace, grace, grace be to you. In Jesus' name, amen.